A deal favoring West Virginia was required to get an FAA funding compromise. Labor unions fire back at proposed changes in organizing rules. And NASA has a new video which might be just the thing for Pink Floyd fans. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, February 2, 2012. This week's big story is the apparent end of 5 years of political infighting over long-term FAA reauthorization. U.S. federal lawmakers Tuesday settled on a four-year funding bill for the FAA after an incredible 23 short-term extensions going back to 2007. The Associated Press reports the bill authorizes $63 billion for the FAA through the 2015 budget year and includes compromises on several contentious issues. Essential Air Services, a program which subsidizes airline service to small communities and which Republicans wanted to cut, will be sticking around, but trimmed by 5%. An estimated 12 communities will be affected. It would have been 13, but Senator Jay Rockefeller of West Virginia held out for a continuation of the entitlement program for Morgantown Airport in his home state. Unions wishing to organize workers in the airline and railroad industries would have to get 50% of workers to authorize an election, up from the current 35% guideline. The DOT would be bound to accept international standards for the shipment of lithium batteries on cargo flights, unless it can provide accident data to justify the tougher standards that pilot unions have been demanding. And a three-hour tarmac stranding law was eliminated from the final version of the bill, but has already been put into effect through regulation by the DOT. 19 labor unions have released a joint statement denouncing the compromise. The letter says, in part, quote, "Rewarding the House Republican leadership's desire to rewrite decades of long-standing labor law in a flash by inserting an unrelated and controversial labor provision in a much-needed aviation safety and security bill without notice, hearing, or debate sets an extremely dangerous precedent. We urge the Senate to delete the provisions of the bill that would amend the Railway Labor Act and pass the clean FAA reauthorization that all concerned recognize this country sorely needs and supports." Unquote. Eurocopter and Bell are both spinning Monday's Canadian federal court ruling in a patent infringement case. Eurocopter brought the action, claiming Bell had made a slavish copy of landing gear patented for the EC-120 for use on Bell's new 429, even after Bell employees raised concerns internally. The court found infringement, set monetary damages, ordered the copying to stop, and called for the destruction of all infringing landing gear on Bell products. But Bell points out that a redesigned version of the sleigh-type skids, which the Canadian court found does not infringe, is the only version ever delivered to customers, and that 15 of the 16 claims filed by Eurocopter were found invalid. Bell says it may appeal the one finding of infringement. NASA reports a camera aboard one of NASA's twin GRAIL spacecraft, that's GRAIL short for Gravity Recovery and Interior Laboratory, has returned its first unique view of the far side of the moon. Thousands of middle school students will select target areas on the lunar surface and send requests to the GRAIL MoonCam Mission Operations Center in San Diego, which will then send photos back for the students to study. The MoonCam program is led by Sally Ride, America's first woman in space, and will engage schools across the country. You can view the video at nasa.gov. It's one of several stories in a rotation on the agency's homepage. Two veteran astronauts have announced their retirements from the agency. Shannon Lucid, a member of NASA's first astronaut class to include women, has retired after more than three decades of service. She's a veteran of five space flights, logged more than 223 days in space, and her 188 days on board the Russian Mir space station in 1991 stood as an endurance record for women worldwide until Suni Williams broke it in 2006. And Jerry Ross, the first person to launch into space seven times, is wrapping up a career that also spanned more than three decades. Ross spent almost 1,400 hours in space and conducted nine spacewalks to rank third on the list of most extravehicular activity time in space. Franklin Chang Diaz is the only other astronaut to have flown into space seven times. Still ahead, Cessna's Citation program celebrates a milestone. There is yet another new LSA. And the U.S. Department of Labor proposes rulemaking to benefit flight attendants. You're listening to Arrow News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, February 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. Cessna says the 400th Citation Mustang rolled off the assembly line recently. It's an impressive milestone for a model just over 5 years old, especially in the current economy. Cessna says Mustang customers most commonly use it for corporate, business, or personal travel. It's also becoming popular in air taxi service, with one fleet user reporting 2,200 hours logged already. The plane's also finding use in special missions, including medical transport and airline flight training. The Citation Mustang's current price is just over $3 million and includes Garmin avionics, Pratt & Whitney engines, and a maximum range of 1,100 nautical miles. There's another new entrant into the crowded LSA market space. Corvus Hungary says the Fusion takes lessons from its Racer 540 and the Red Bull Air Race series to produce a relatively inexpensive, high-performance plane with aerobatic capabilities. The construction will be mostly carbon composite. Engine options include the Rotax 912, Jabiru 2200, and the Belgian-made UL 260. The company says a Lycoming 233 may be available in the U.S. market. MSRP will be about $136,000 U.S. The FAA has issued a special airworthiness information bulletin concerning a potential for an accelerated rate of failure of the avionics master switch on some Cessna 172s, 182s, and 206s. Switch failure could result in the loss of avionics functionality on planes equipped with Garmin G1000 panels. These planes are designed such that avionics equipment necessary for the pilot to continue safe flight and landing are still maintained through the aircraft's electrical system. At this time, the issue is not considered an unsafe condition that would warrant an AD. Find more detail, including specific models affected, in the text version of this story, dated February 1st, at aero-news.net. And finally today, the Family Medical Leave Act in the U.S. requires most employers to provide job-protected unpaid leave to employees who've worked 60% of a full-time schedule over the course of a year. Until now, full-time schedule has been defined as a traditional 40-hour work week, effectively excluding flight attendants. On Monday, Secretary of Labor Hilda Solis and the Association of Flight Attendants jointly announced the Airline Flight Crew Family and Medical Leave Act, a rule which would cover flight crews. AFA President Veda Shook said at the announcement, quote, "We negotiated for equal treatment, then worked for legislation that provided a correction for all. This rulemaking finally puts into practice defined procedures for all crew members to access FMLA benefits." That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.